Presents session on soil sampling and analysis for volatile organic compounds. Your primary presenter today will be Eric Watt, who is a geologist from Tetra Tech. Eric is an environmental and geotechnical geologist and construction inspector with over 15 years of project experience. He provides technical support for clients in government and private sectors. In his areas of expertise include task management, environmental field sampling, materials testing, oversight of structural fill, concrete asphalt placement, test borings for engineering purposes, and monitoring well installation. He holds a bachelor's degree in geology from Towson University and is currently certified as a hazardous materials manager. With that, I'd like to turn things over to Eric. Eric, are you with us?
I am here.
Excellent. Feel free to begin.
Okay, thank you. So, we are going to be discussing today soil sampling and analysis for volatile organic compounds, VOCs. The precise characterization of VOCs in soil is often critical since decisions for remediation are based on analytical measurements. Unfortunately, the acts of collecting and storing soil can subject soils to numerous variables that can alter VOC concentrations. They are volatilization, which is the off-gassing of the chemicals, biodegradation, and other loss of VOCs in the sample. Today, we'll discuss the collection of high-quality soil samples for VOCs, some of the best practices for sampling techniques to minimize the loss of VOCs, and the advantages and disadvantages of sampling devices. Specifically, we will look at Encore and TerraCore samplers. Also, at this time, if you haven't had a chance, I would refer you to the supplemental materials that are provided with today's presentations. There are two of them. There is an ERT standard operating procedure from July 2001, and there is also a US EPA Region 4 standard operating procedure, and that is from 2007. Those are great materials to help supplement the information that's provided today. So, good soil VOC data begins with good sampling practices. As with all environmental samples, the lab data are only as good as the samples collected in the field. So we need to be careful. We need proper documentation of where and how the samples are collected, and that goes, you know, just above and beyond the basics of your, you know, just sample date and time. When it comes to sampling soils for VOCs, everything we do from the time the cores are retrieved to the preparation of the sample for shipment can affect VOC recovery and sample quality. One of the things I would highlight on this page here, you'll see it bold and italicized. Samples for VOC analysis are not homogenized. There's no taking a composite sample when you're dealing with VOCs. They need to be grab or discrete samples only. And there it is again as a further reminder. All right. Soil samples for VOCs can show significant losses within seconds to minutes of opening soil cores. So the handling of the cores and their preparation can contribute to additional losses. Using a sampling method that does not maintain VOCs during sample collection, shipment, and during the hold before analysis can further add to the problem. And this last bullet point here is just a reiteration of what we discussed on the last slide. Do not collect composite or incremental sampling methodology samples for VOCs. So, how do we handle samples once the soil core liner is opened? Well, there's a couple of different factors to take into consideration. Do we have consolidated soil, such as clay, or unconsolidated, such as sand and gravel? We have to factor in the time that the core is opened or exposed before sampling. That gets into the volatilization issue of losing certain compounds, the moisture content of the soil, disturbance of integrity of the core, and basically what that means is you can see in the picture here, The sleeves at the end, in the picture, when you're opening those up as they're being cut, you know, if they're jostled or certainly if they're dropped, any additional disturbance of the soil, if there are VOCs in there, that can add to the loss of the VOCs. You also have to factor in ambient temperature. It's much different sampling for VOCs in July versus January. Then you also have to take into consideration the heat that is generated by the method in which you're retrieving the samples. For example, if you're sonic drilling, that is going to generate a much higher level of heat than some other standard drilling operations. VOC loss. Heavier VOCs are less likely to be lost, whereas lighter VOCs will likely be lost. So your lighter VOCs, your BTEX compounds, benzene, toluene, alkylbenzene, you're more than likely going to lose those quicker than, say, some of the heavier VOCs, like your chlorinateds, TCE or PCE. And then again, you have to factor in the density of the sample material. More porous materials, such as sand, will lose VOCs a little quicker than a dense sample material such as clay. All right, so how do we handle these acrylic or acetate sleeve liners? This picture is actually a good representation of what not to do with sleeves. If you don't have a table or a clean surface to put them on and you absolutely have to put them on the ground, please put down a clean sheet of plastic. Even if you have to use a trash bag, you don't want to introduce anything that may be on the ground into your sample. Here are some things you can do. You can cap the liner to preserve VOCs, and then don't cut the sleeves open until you're actually ready to physically collect the sample. If there's going to be a delay in the sample collection, you can put the liners on ice. When you are sampling, you want to do it immediately with an Encore sampler or the TerraCore sampler that's using the field preserved vials. And then you also want to screen the core and select the samples for analysis. And you can use that using an FID or a PID, a photoionization detector, that will screen the sample for volatiles. Once a core barrel or a sleeve has been opened, the collection of the samples is the first thing you want to do. You want to just do that first. No logging, no measuring recovery, or any other type of soil characteristics. Those types of activities can easily add several minutes, 10 minutes even, and by that time, you're going to have a pretty significant loss of VOCs. So a good conversation to have at the beginning of the day is with the drill rig personnel and just let them know, please don't get too far ahead and, please only cut the cores when you know that I'm ready to handle them. So some things to avoid when sampling from the liners. You don't want to leave the liner exposed while screening. If you are going to do any type of screening from an intermediate container, such as a Ziploc bag or a glass jar, do not collect your sample from that material in those secondary containers. You also want to avoid taking an additional boring for samples after screening. There's no guarantee that the soil you're going to generate from that second hole is going to be the same as the first one. I've seen it happen lots of times. Even if you're, 6 inches away, a foot away from your first point, you cannot guarantee to reproduce those same results. You also really want to avoid the bulk sampling and rely on field-preserved sampling methods or a sealed sampling method, which is the Encore, and we'll get into that a little later. Again, some things to avoid, sampling tools without any kind of a liner, such as a split spoon sampler, makes it nearly impossible to retain VOCs before samples are collected. Here are some ASTM standards and EPA methods to review for collecting soil VOC samples. First step, ASTMs D6282 and 6640 will cover the collection and handling of soil cores for environmental sampling. And then when it comes down to the preservation, transportation, and analysis of those samples, EPA method 5035 is a great resource, along with ASTMs D4547 and D6418. So here we have some examples of the various methods for sampling soils for VOCs. The top picture, the jar there, that's the bulk sampling method. You're going to obtain that soil by scooping it or slicing it from the soil cores and pack them into the wide mouth jar. Again, that's without any type of preservation. The next option, the picture below that, that's an example of using the TerraCore with the little white plastic sampler there. You're going to collect approximately a 5-gram sample and place it into pre-preserved VOA vials for analysis. And a VOA vial, it's just the little 40 milliliter vial, glass vial you see right there. The other option is the Encore sampler. It's a sealed chamber. There's no field preservation required. And there's two different sizes you can use. Most often you're going to be using the 5-gram sampler, which is the one you see all the way on the left. And EPA method 5035, again, just discusses in more detail collection of the samples via either the Encore or the TerraCore. With either method, you will also have to collect either a 2-ounce or a 4-ounce container for the lab to analyze for moisture content. The two methods of sample collection and preservation, with the two methods of preservation with the TerraCore, which we'll get into, you will use either methanol or sodium bisulfate. So, with the TerraCores in method 5035, there's the high level and low level methods. High level is generally referred to if you're anticipating your analytical results to be greater than 200 parts per billion or 200 micrograms per kilogram. If you're going to be below that level, that's the low level analysis, and you can get a much lower method detection limit as well using the lower level analysis. The field preservation is typically done at a 1-to-1 ratio, weight to volume, of soil and preservative. The pre-preserved vials are supplied by the laboratory, and they're weighed to allow calculation of soil sample weight. What's very important here, and I'm going to discuss this several times, is with those pre-weighed labels, do not add an additional label to that vial. The only thing you're going to add to it is the information that you write down on it, you know, where the sample was collected, the date and the time. Those vials need to go back to the lab the way you received them so they can get the tear weight and very accurately determine how much soil you actually put in the preservative. The soil samples are based on volume, and again, they typically weigh 5 grams. The 25-gram samples are for SPLP or T-clip samples if you're collecting samples for waste characterization. And once they're preserved, they have a hold time of 14 days as long as they are chilled at 4 degrees centigrade. So why are there two preservatives used in method 5035? Some programs will have detection limit requirements for some analytes, such as benzene, that are lower than most labs can achieve with a 50-to-1 dilution of methanol in water. On the other end of the spectrum, samples with VOC concentrations that are above that 200 parts per billion can't be accurately quantified in a sodium bisulfate solution, and that is where you would use the methanol. Unless you're absolutely sure that all of your samples will fall above or below the 200 parts per billion threshold, both samples are taken in the field. The lab will send you a sampling kit for each location that will utilize both preservatives. And then the lab will screen those samples to determine which one is to be analyzed. So, collecting samples for field preservation with methanol. Again, this is the TerraCore sampler we're talking about here. You're going to place a 5-gram plug of soil into the pre-preserved vial containing the methanol. Again, it's a 1-to-1 volume to weight ratio of soil to methanol. Again, we want to perform this operation quickly to prevent VOC loss. And again, the teared weight of methanol vials should be verified before samples are collected. So we'll go through this in a little bit more detail here with actually using the TerraCore sampler. So again, the vials are going to be pre-preserved, pre-labeled, and pre-weighed when they come from the laboratory. Special care should be exercised to ensure that no additional labels or custody seals are used on the vials. This is because the adhesives used on these other labels and seals have been known to affect analytical results. Also, the laboratory has recorded the tear weight of each vial with that specific label and preservative, and they will be unable to calculate the exact amount of soil added to the vial if additional labels or seals are attached. So, with the TerraCore plunger seated in the handle, let me get my arrow here. So this is the plunger here, and you're going to start with it parallel to the handle. I'm going to push the TerraCore into the freshly exposed soil until the soil chamber is filled. And again, a full chamber will contain approximately 5 grams of soil. After you remove it from the soil, if there's any excess soil remaining on the TerraCore, you're going to remove that. And then you're going to rotate the plunger 90 degrees so that it's perpendicular to the handle. And you can see this in the bottom picture here. Place the sampler at the top of the vial and push the plunger to expel the soil into the vial. There it is right there. Wipe excess soil from the vial threads right here at the top and cap to ensure a good seal. Swirl the preservative in the vial to make sure the preservative covers the top of the soil. That's very important. You want to make sure before you put that vial away that all of the soil is immersed in the preservative. Fill out your labels, fix to the jar, and place them in a cooler with ice. Again, do not label the vial with additional labels. You're going to repeat this process for the remaining 2 pre-preserved vials. After which, you can use the TerraCore or a clean spoon or a trowel and fill the percent moisture jar. Again, that's the additional either. Sometimes they'll send you a 2-ounce, sometimes it'll be a 4-ounce jar that you have to collect for moisture. And then you're also going to place that in the cooler. An important safety note here regarding the use of methanol. It is a toxic and flammable liquid. It must be handled with all the required safety precautions related to toxic and flammable liquids. You're going to want to make sure you're using the methanol in a ventilated area. Make sure you have protective gloves when handling the vials, and especially store methanol away from sources of ignition, such as extreme heat or open flames. Now, the other preservation method we have is the sodium bisulfate. You're going to go through the same process. One important thing to point out here is calcareous soil types. That is, if you're in an area with limestone or dolomite, they need to be checked for effervescence prior to sampling or the vial may explode due to the reaction. And you can test this by adding a few drops of the bisulfate to some sample in a separate vial. If it bubbles, then it's not, that soil is not suitable to use with the sodium bisulfate. And again, you have the same one-to-one ratio of the weight of volume from soil to preservative. You're going to collect the 2-sodium bisulfate plus a methanol preserved vial. And if you have to collect a QAQC sample, such as an MSMSD, you'll need to collect an additional 3 vials for the additional volume for the lab to analyze. And again, just be careful of the teared weight pre-preserved vials and not adding any additional labels. Now, there are some advantages of field preservation. There's no further preparation of the sample required by the lab prior to analysis. It is widely accepted by regulators. VOC concentrations will remain stable throughout the whole time. And the laboratory doesn't require any special tools or procedures to process the sample. Well, what are some disadvantages of field preservation? The vials can leak or they could break. More often, you're going to need more experienced staff to perform this. It's difficult under adverse weather conditions. There is a slightly higher risk of error. Spilling or mixing the preservative, maybe accidentally adding a label or any kind of weight to those pre-preserved and teared vials. And vehicle exhaust fumes can contaminate the methanol. You could also run into a situation with shipping restrictions using the methanol. However, it's typically not an issue if your courier knows that their laboratory samples and the total volume of methanol is less than 500 milliliters. And that is a rare case, because if you do have 500 milliliters of methanol, that means you have taken a lot of soil samples that day. You can review the in the Code of Federal Regulations, Title 49, which is for the U.S. Department of Transportation, Parts 171 through 179, there are many tables that reference certain types of hazardous materials and the quantities that qualify them as dangerous goods, and then the extra steps or precautions you'll need to take when shipping those materials. You can also refer to the International Air Transportation Association hazardous materials shipping requirements as well. So our next option after the TerraCore is the Encore sampler. And this method does not use any preservation. It is the only commercially available sampler with method 5035. It does meet the ASTM requirement for VOC retention during permitted hold time. You've got the 2 samples, again, the 5 and 25 gram size. Again, the 25 gram size that usually only applies to if you're collecting a sample for waste characterization, and that's going to be either an SPLP or a T-clip sample. It's a zero headspace design, so there's minimal air trapped in the sample, and you can obtain this type of sampler from multiple suppliers, QEC, forestry suppliers, or Enovative. All right, here are all the components of the Encore. Up at the top is the T-handle. Got my arrow here. This here is the T-handle. This right here is the actual coring device. That's where the sample is going to go in. The soil is going to go right in here. And then here's the locking cap. And you'll notice there's these little notches here. And we'll go over this in detail in a couple of slides. These notches are going to slide up over. There's going to be a flat space. There's going to be a break in this ridge here that goes around the perimeter of the core. where the break is in that ridge, that's where you're going to line these notches up, and then you're going to give it a quarter turn to lock it. So, first step, depress the lever on the T-handle and push the coring body into the T-handle's open end. When it is fully inserted, rotate the coring body clockwise to lock it in place. The device will make a clicking noise as it locks, and now it's ready for use. And just to be sure, before you go to actually use it and collect your sample, just make sure the locking arm is in position. So, you're going to press the T-handle into the freshly exposed surface, forcing soil into the sampler. As the cavity fills with soil, the plunger is forced upward. Soft soil may require several plunges and may need to be pressed against a hard surface to ensure that headspace is eliminated. And if you're performing your sampling, if you have your sleeve here or your liner, if it's sitting on a table or an otherwise hard surface, that should be enough of a hard surface for you to push into to fully fill the coring. When it is full, the O-ring at the top of the coring body will be visible in the middle of the viewing port on the T-handle. And I'm just going to go back a couple of slides. There's the O-ring right there. It's very tiny. It's very easy to miss. But just keep that in mind, because you're going to be able to see that O-ring when you get to the step where it's when the cavity is full. And there it is coming out of the sleeve. And again, sometimes you'll see some extra soil hanging on at the bottom of the sampling device. So you can use a paper towel to remove the excess soil from the sides of the sampler. You want to be careful not to remove any soil from the opening of the coring body. Leaving the soil at or very slightly above the rim of the sampler will ensure that void space in the sample is minimized. And I'm going to highlight again the ridge here that goes around the sampler, and the arms and the little notches on the cap. Push the cap onto the coring body so that the arms of the cap go through the flat spaces. And again, there's going to be a break in this coring ridge that goes around the perimeter. And where those breaks are, the flat spaces, that's where these arms of the cap are going to go. Once you have the cap on, give the cap a quarter turn, locking it in place. Check to be sure that the groove of each arm is hooked over the ridge of the coring body and that the cap is locked. Remove the capped sampler by depressing the locking lever on the T-handle, which push this part of the arm down. And that will lift this up, enabling you to remove the sampling device. Remove the cap sampler by depressing the locking lever on the T-handle while twisting and pulling on the coring body. Finish locking the capped sampler by rotating the plunger rod counterclockwise as far as it will go. The slot located on one arm of the T-handle can help facilitate this action. Label the envelope with the required sample information and return the full sampler to its zipper bag, seal, and store in a cooler at or below 4 degrees. Repeat these steps for two more encores to complete the set of three for the sample. And again, make sure you fill either the 2-ounce or the 4-ounce jar for moisture content and store in a cooler. You can decontaminate the Encore T-handle or switch it out with a clean one between collecting separate samples. Here is an example. If you're going to collect a surface soil sample directly from the ground. So again, you've got the T-handle here, and your Encore device is in the bottom of the T-handle. First step, you're going to expose the soil to be sampled by scraping the surface with a clean spatula or spoon. You're going to want to do that to remove any topsoil or grass. Push the device into the soil until the sample chamber is full, and then extract the device. And after you do that, it's going to go through these same steps over here. Wipe off the excess sample. Line up the arms on the cap and the notches here with the flat spaces. And then label the bag and place your sample in the cooler. All right, what are the advantages of using the Encore sampler? It can be faster than using the TerraCore. It is easy to use. You don't have to worry about preserving in the field. There are no shipping restrictions. It does have a longer shelf life, and it will ship in a proprietary VOC-proof bag. What are some disadvantages of the Encore? They must be preserved at the lab within 48 hours of collecting the sample. That's covered in Method 5035. There are some other freezing options to extend the hold time of the sample, and those are discussed in those various ASTM methods. I can tell you from personal experience, it's just a lot easier to just make sure those samples are shipped right away, and you don't have to worry about maintaining them in a freezer. Another potential disadvantage is possibly coordinating with the lab if Saturday delivery is expected. If that's the case, you want to make sure not only will somebody at the lab be there to receive the sample, but also to perform the extraction within the hold time. Most agree that the per sample cost is a little bit higher than field preservation. Some of that is offset by time savings, especially if you can have more inexperienced staff available. And the lab may charge a sample prep fee as well. So we have lots of decisions to consider and go through as we prepare to collect soil samples for VOCs. Out of this flowchart, I think it could be helpful for you. The one thing I would highlight to you here, if you're considering using the TerraCore option and you think you're going to have the low-level samples, I would personally recommend do not use the unpreserved VOA vials. You definitely want to stick with either using the methanol or the sodium bisulfate. And as I mentioned a couple times before, if you're going to use the Encore and you're collecting a waste characterization sample, either an SPLP or a T-clip sample, you can use the Encore device and you're going to use the larger device, the 25 gram versus the 5 gram. And then over here, again, if you're using TerraCores and you're looking at possibly high concentrations, you're going to be looking at using the methanol preserved vials. So as we wrap up, sampling intervals must be decided as quickly and safely as possible. When those cores are retrieved, again, you want to minimize the downtime as much as possible from the time the cores are out of the ground, that they're cut, and you screen them and select the sampling interval. If you're going to use TerraCores, you're going to discuss preservatives with the laboratory ahead of time. If you are using Encores, it is, again, critically important that the day you collect them, they must be shipped to the laboratory or have arrangements made so they can be picked up via courier the day that they are collected. At this point, it would be the end of my presentation. And Gene, if there are questions, we can start to answer those.
All right, excellent. So just a quick reminder, if you have not yet submitted your questions or comments for Eric, go ahead and start typing those into the Q&A window, which appear in the lower right corner of your screen. We have a few that have come in already. I will start with those, and then if we have some additional ones come in, we will try to take those as time permits. And another quick reminder, try to stick with us until the end. We will walk through a series of helpful pointers before we close out, including how you can access materials, some standard operating procedures, copies of the slides, and even provide feedback to get a certificate for attending today. So let's get started with those questions. This very first question comes in asking about the rationale for not doing VOC analysis on ISM samples. They go on to say that there is specific guidance on how to do exactly that from ITRC. So could you talk about your rationale for not doing VOC analysis on ISM samples?
Yeah, I know some of that guidance has come out recently. The idea behind not doing the compositing, at least on my end, is, you know, when you are doing the compositing and you're mixing the samples together, that's just, you know, you're disturbing the sample and you're causing the soil to be exposed for a longer period of time, and that's where you can run in the risk of losing the VOCs through volatilization.
Okay.
This is Joanne Espelson from ERT, and in that guidance, it's also very specific that if you're doing ISM on samples that, you know, go straight into methanol, a preservative, and you put all your aliquots in there, but only for like non-surface soils. So there are some limitations on that. So the key is you definitely don't want to mix them. Also, the normal, some of the laboratory processes, of if they're going to grind or others, those are, again, processes you would not want to follow for volatile. So there are ways it can be done, but it's restrictive, and you have to make sure you're doing it the right type of matrix and making sure you're doing it the right method and that you have the right instructions to the lab. I don't know if that helps a little bit.
I think so. I also wanted to check to see if Charlie Appleby has joined us on the phone. I know Charlie was planning to connect. Charlie, if you're there on the phone from EPA's Analytical Services Branch, feel free to take yourself off of mute and just say hi, just so that we know that you're there to help answer questions if we need you. Charlie, are you with us? Okay. We may come back and try to...
Hello?
Yes, Charlie, I hear you. Okay, excellent. Thanks so much.
I hit pound twice, I guess. Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks, Charlie. Let me move on to our next question, and then Joanne or Eric, please feel free to go ahead and refer to Charlie as needed for some of these questions. There is another question coming in about ISM, but this one gets into something very specific. So a participant says, you stated not to collect ISM samples for VOCs, and as noted, several ISM guidance documents describe the use of multiple VOC soil plugs in a single container with a 1-to-1 methanol to soil ratio. They'd like to know, why is that a problem?
I think I would maybe defer to Charlie on this one.
Okay.
1-to-1 methanol to soil ratio. I think when you add the methanol, you're adding 5 mils of methanol. You're adding 5 mils of soil. It pretty much is a 1-to-1 ratio. And then of course, you're going to sample the methanol to do the analysis. But I feel like I haven't really addressed the question. Can you go back to that question?
Sure. We can come back to that. But let me just remind you of
again,
it.
This is Joanne. And again, if I understand it, this is a very specific you know, you take your sample, you put it in the jar with the methanol, and then you add each increment to the same jar with the methanol, so then you get an incremental VOC sample. So that is in the ITRC guidance. You do have additionally a little bit more handling, but if you read the guidance, there's also suggestions that you don't use this for any exposed soil. They talk about using this method for soils under in waste piles or under slabs. So we should have put, there are a few exceptions to this. So there are some methods, again, that if you're very careful to do multiple increments into the same jar of methanol, as long as you keep that 1-to-1 ratio. So we did have a slight error there. We probably should have put there are a few exceptions to this. But again, once it gets to the laboratory, you don't want any grinding or any additional mixing like they do with a lot of incremental samples.
So this is Charlie again. I just want to make sure I understand that. You have a container. You're taking these core samples, and you have methanol in the container. So you're adding successive cores to that container. Is that correct?
That's the way I read the method.
Okay, so you must be trying to minimize headspace in that container, although it's methanol. It's not going to be too critical. Okay, I'm following you.
Okay, and their critical question is, they simply want to know, why is this a problem if you are following a 1-to-1 methanol to soil ratio?
The only issue I could see would be with, because all of the analytes are soluble in methanol, you're still going to have if you have a headspace, you'll still have some gaseous constituents in the headspace, some methanol, perhaps some of the gases.
Okay.
I think it gets back to, on our slide, we had a slide, we should have put, there are some exceptions to using ICS.
Okay.
If you follow the methods very closely and what's in the new methodology.
Okay. Charlie, I'm guessing you may have input on this one, but Eric could just confirm. So I'm going to jump to another question here. This attendee says, if sample interval selection is to be based on OVM readings, where a 5 to 10 minute time frame is needed to allow for volatilization in a Ziploc bag, how do you suggest minimizing VOC loss during the screening selection process?
If that's the case, one option could be to collect side-by-side cores. You could use one for screening and one for sampling.
That sounds like a good idea.
Excellent. Thank you. All right, let's move on to our next question. One of our participants wants to know, can you reuse the sample device?
No. You definitely cannot reuse the TerraCore device. That is a one-time use only for that specific location. Now, that being said, just to clarify, you know, you're filling three vials, you know, per sample. You can use that TerraCore to fill those three vials, but when you move to the next sampling interval and you have your next set of vials, you must use a new TerraCore. When you're using the Encores, the T-handle could be reused. It's a good idea to give that a decon, and the only reason why you're going to be able to reuse that one is the T-handle, you know, it's not going to come in direct contact with the soil. That's because, you know, the Encore is going to be on the end of the T-handle, and that's what's going to be touching the soil.
Okay. Let's take a question specifically about the TerraCore sampler itself. When would 10 grams of soil be obtained with a TerraCore sampler as opposed to only 5 grams of soil?
Typically, you know, it is only 5. You might have a situation where It's a very specific analytical method or requirement for a site. It could be an issue or a situation where if you do have to collect additional volume that you would need that additional 5 grams for the total of 10. And again, just making sure that whatever amount of volume of soil that you're collecting, it is completely immersed in the preservative inside the vial.
Another attendee is just looking for confirmation on something that you said earlier in the webinar. She'd like to know, can you confirm that the methanol limit was 500 mils per cooler when you're shipping via FedEx?
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. And now we're going to move on to another question, again, just confirming. Can you repeat which container you're recommending for sampling into for low-level VOC samples? So was it TerraCore or Encore?
I mean, either one you could use. I mean, that is, I guess, the main gist behind the presentation today is to show, you know, there are advantages and disadvantages for using either type of sampler. Like I said, it really would boil down to a personal preference. Or again, it could be an issue of, you know, if you're going to have experienced staff versus inexperienced staff. If you're going to have somebody, you know, who's done this, you know, more than just a couple of times, then by all means, use the TerraCore sampler because they're going to be familiar with handling the preservative. They know to be careful not to add any additional labels to that pre-weighed and teared vial. Or if you want to make things, you know, super easy, you can use the Encore. That doesn't require any preservation at all.
All right. Speaking of Encore, how is the soil removed from the Encore sample capsule?
That would, I think, Charlie, you'd probably be able to answer that better, how the lab deals with the sample once they receive it.
When the lab receives the sample, they extrude it into a closed system Zola vial that contains either water or methanol. And what they use to extrude it, you know, I've seen them, but I don't know where they get them. It's just a plunger that they use to extrude that sample. But, you know, I can't be more specific. I apologize.
That's okay.
That's okay. Well, that just gets to one of the points that was made earlier too, because there is that extra step, you know, the lab has to take, and they have to make sure they have those, you know, specific tools, that you could get into a situation where they may charge you an additional sample prep fee for using the Encore.
Right. Let me just restate that while I have the opportunity, that it's important for the lab to get the samples within 24 hours of your sampling effort, because then they have 24 hours to transfer it into a closed system vial with either water or methanol, and then they will keep those vials in the freezer. Once they do that, then they can store it for up to 14 days prior to analysis. But they have to get it transferred within 48 hours of collection in order for that to still be a viable sample.
Okay.
Thank you for pointing that out, Charlie. That is a good point. You know, the one of the slides, you know, did mention a total of 48 hours from the time you collect it, but that's why, you know, I did stress earlier, it is very important and it's good practice that the lab does receive that sample within that 24 hours. That way they have the proper amount of time and effort to be able to do the extraction and the preservation.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Derek. If I, Gene, if I could just raise one more point.
Go ahead.
And this involves the TerraCore samples. I don't remember seeing it on the draft slides, and I didn't think of it until after I had sent my comments. Did you mention a stir bar?
I didn't specifically mention it, but it's the stir bar is referenced on the on that flow chart towards the end of the presentation. But yeah, please definitely expand upon that.
Okay, so if you are collecting your samples in a terra core and you're going to extrude them into vials in the field, then not the methanol vial, but the vials that will have water in them, add a stir bar before you seal that vial. And that way, there's no one else has to open that vial. It goes to the lab. The lab adds their internal standard and monitoring standard solutions through the septum, and it gets analyzed. And that stir bar facilitates them to agitate the sample so you have good mixing. So that should be part of the procedure. And so one of the things when you use the terra core, one of the things you have to have in your field with you is clean. They're really tiny size stir bars. They're about 4 millimeters. That's it.
Okay. All right. It looks like we've got a few more minutes left. We'll take just a few more questions. And this next one is still related to terra core. The participant wants to know, does the lab analyze the headspace or methanol? And again, this is
does the lab analyze the
headspace or the methanol?
If the samples are preserved with methanol, the laboratory analyzes the methanol. They take up to 100 microliters of that, and they transfer that to a sparger and do their with clean water, and they do their analysis that way. If it's soil in a vial with water, the whole thing gets purged. So it's not just the headspace. There's a stream of bubbles that you're going to stir the sample, and the volatiles are captured by those bubbles, and they go to the trap.
Okay.
Does that answer the question?
I think so. I think it does, and we'll see if there's any clarification that comes in. One of the participants would like to know if you have any experience collecting samples for the analysis of ethers.
I personally do not.
Okay. All right. And moving right along here, are there other commercially available devices than the terra core sampler for the same type of sampling? So is terra core the only company that produces that type of a unit, or is there somebody else?
For the terra cores, there may be some available, but those toolkits definitely seem to have a hold on the market.
Okay. And then let's see if we can take just one more comment here. Basically, one of the attendees wrote in and said that rather than sodium bisulfate, samples can be collected in a VOA-free water and then frozen by the lab after receipt. Sodium bisulfate can form acetone and breaks down styrene, so it's also very corrosive on VOA instruments. And as stated, it may react with certain matrices. So I just wanted to share that perspective. And any feedback or thoughts on that, Eric?
No, I completely agree. That's a very good point.
Okay. Charlie,
this is Charlie. I just wanted to make sure that it was pointed out earlier that if you have carbonaceous soils, sodium bisulfate wouldn't be an appropriate preservative. And forgetting what else I was going to say. and the way you test that is to just take some of the solution and add a little soil to it, and if it foams, then you don't want to use sodium bisulfate.
Okay. Well, it does look like we have reached the scheduled end time for today's webinar, so I want to check with Eric very quickly if there's any final thoughts you want to leave the audience with before I walk through some closeout reminders and we end today's webinar.
No, I think that's it. I think we covered everything. I appreciate everyone's comments and feedback, and some very good questions were asked.
All right, excellent. With that, let me walk everybody through just a few quick reminders before we close things out today. I just wanted to remind everybody that today's webinar and the materials that we had for the session are available to download, including a number of the resources, the standard operating procedures, and other things that Eric was discussing, are currently available on the seminar homepage from the resources or links area. You can also find that under related URLs. And so you can click on that, press the Browse To button, and actually open it up and browse through those files at any time. If you're looking for contact information, if you happen to be one of the lucky people replaying the recorded version and you have some follow-on questions or comments about the session, you'll find my contact information as well as other organizers off of that seminar homepage. I will ask if each of you could take just a brief moment to fill out our short online feedback form and let us know what you thought of today's broadcast, both in how we delivered it and the content that we covered. If you happen to be one of those people looking for a participation certificate, you can get one of those after you submit feedback. So if you fill out that feedback form, there's a box you can check at the bottom to certify you were here for the whole thing. And once you check that box and send in your feedback, you'll immediately have access to a PDF-based certificate for today's session. Each person can actually fill out their own feedback form. So if you participated as a group, each one of you can get one of those forms. And again, if you're replaying the recorded version, just follow the link to the feedback form on the side, and you can still provide feedback based off of your replay of the webinar and get a certificate. Our session was recorded, and we will automatically send you an email as soon as that recording is available for on-demand playback. So I want to thank the over 220 individuals who joined us from all over the world for today's live broadcast, as well as our presenters and organizers who helped put on today's session. This will be the formal conclusion for today's live broadcast.